Hey, how you guys doing? It's me, San Martin, over here at the Prescott E-News office, sitting in on Prescott Talks with your host, Glenn.
Glenn?
Martin. San Martin.
Glenn Martin, San Martin.
I got the Martins in the house.
Yeah, the house is full of Martins.
We could put your middle name as a Martin, too.
Well, that kind of fits you in there, don't it? Well, good morning, Prescott. Today, we are going to have a subject on the Second Amendment. And we brought in Don Greer, who is the owner of Prescott Gun Club, to speak to us about the Second Amendment and some of the things that are offered for you at the Prescott Gun Club. Now, if you have any comments, any questions for Don, just type in your questions in the comment screen if you're watching on Facebook, and we'll do the very best of our ability to answer your questions. And are we okay?
Yeah,
on the mics.
I don't, it's not reading on the other one. Give me a second.
After that great intro.
We'll see.
It's all good.
How about that, Lynn? Testing. One, two. Sorry, guys. Technical difficulties. First time ever. Nothing?
Nada.
This is not where it works on. Let's do now.
We have it now then?
Yeah, you should be able to hear it now.
It's low, but I can hear it now.
Okay. All right, excellent. Sorry about that, guys. Technical difficulties, and it never happens usually, but there we are. Let's go again, Len. Open, Len.
Okay, so again, we have Don Greer. He's the owner of Prescott Gun Club. Our subject today is the Second Amendment. And on the computer, we have Lynn LeMaster, our editor-in-chief, who's monitoring the comments. So if you have a question or something that you want to, a comment that you want to give Don, by all means type it in and we will do our very best to answer your questions or air your comments. So with that, we start. Don Greer.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
He's like,
that was like the best introduction ever.
Here we go, huh?
Took a little while.
Right? Yeah, that was the first time ever.
Another drink of water and we're set to go.
Yeah, we were trying a little bit of a different scenario so we could go ahead and have our listeners and stuff be able to listen in on what we got going on. But here we are.
Yeah, we're good to go. Don, about you. Where you came from? What's going on?
Well, originally from back east and came out to school on the west coast, so I've been on both of the coasts and finally got enough of that and came into Prescott. And I've been here for, about 20 plus years. First started coming to Prescott in the 90s and then bought a place here and just said, yeah, this is the place to eventually move and live. It's a good place. I remember when the first time we were up here and drove through on a motorcycle trip and pulled up to Whiskey Row and a girl pulled up on a Harley with no helmet and a 9mm on her side and I just said, I'm done.
There
you
go.
Gotta be the place. it doesn't get any cooler than that.
Hey, Elizabeth, we found it. Yeah, we're going.
Yeah, a lot of
she knows the story.
A lot of East Coast, a lot of my friends or people that come from the East Coast are just like, is that normal? I'm like, I don't know, is it? I mean, guns are everything.
Back even when I was a kid in the 70s, I still had to go to the police department and get a license as a kid for a 22. And then you had to get a hunting license and you had to get a firearm permit. So it's been pretty crazy back there ever since even I was a kid. So coming out here to Arizona, which has just been rated the number one gun-friendly state for about the last 7 or 8 years, is just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I was the same way when I first moved over. I'd go to like Walmart or go to Safeway and I go, holy cow, everybody's carrying guns around here. But I liked it because you know what? I felt safer. I felt like, if anything was to ever happen, somebody before the police got there would be able to stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way they look at it.
Something's definitely going to go down.
Oh, yeah.
But, one of the things that I've noticed also in Arizona is that not too many people go crazy because I think they acknowledge, somebody's in this crowd is going to have, we're sitting in this room and two out of us have guns on them. You see how that ratio works really well?
Yeah. Somebody coming through the door to rob us would have to earn it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah.
Prescott Gun Club. So little bit of history there.
Prescott Gun Club. So we were sitting around one day with Mike Cable, who was our former chief of police, a friend of ours, and he was retiring and he was 52. And I thought, well, Mike, what are you going to do? You're a young guy at 52. And he said, well, I don't really know. And I said, well, I've got an idea. If you're in, I'm in. If you're not in, I'm out. And so we sat down and we started talking about opening an indoor shooting range because there was a lack of that. And with the growth of Prescott, more and more of the areas that you could shoot outside are becoming scarce. And with more and more shooters who are out there that are not policing trash and grass and leaving behind all that refuse, eventually they're going to end up closing down all the places we do have to shoot. So we started talking about it, did a little research, saw the gun ownership rates and how friendly firearms Prescott is. Particularly, we have Davidson's in town, Ruger, we've got a lot of distributors. And we thought, okay, and as we started to do the research, it just all started to come together. And found the location, started, you know, work with the city who was very supportive of it. And got Prescott Gun Club up and running, you know, in a relatively short amount of time. Unfortunately, Mike became very ill and couldn't continue on after about 9 months. So the if you're in, I'm in, and if you're out, I'm out didn't quite work out that way. And we're all in now. So brought Elizabeth in, and she started doing administration and really became an integral part of the business. And now it's kind of like this family. Business.
Yeah. Elizabeth is your wife.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, where does Elizabeth come from?
She wasn't the one that was on the Harley with the 9mm, by the way.
But she is the boss.
Yeah.
That's right. She is the boss now. So how long has the club been up and running?
We've actually been open. March was our fourth year open. It took us about 11 months from start to finish to build and get open, and we've been up and running solid for over 4 years now.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool being an entrepreneur as Don is. Just so everybody knows, I do work at the Prescott Gun Club, and being on the range one day, Don and I were walking down the range looking at the lights, making sure everything was cool, and he pointed up to all the steel up on the roof and how it was all layered and all the chains were holding down to make sure nothing gets out of that range, you know, bullet wise. And he says, you know, I did all that. That was all me. I was up there for hours adjusting chains, putting steel plates on. So, I mean, not only does he own the gun club, he built it. He was hands-on when he did it. I think that's really kind of a neat story for people who do go there. Understand where, you know, the pride of this gun club comes from is, you know, the owner actually hands-on built that club.
And can you use, is there a restriction on any kind of gun that you can use there? I mean, obviously not that really, really high-powered stuff, but is there a restriction?
Well, we are rated for anything under a 50 BMG. We tend not to want to really shoot them in there, although we can because they're pretty loud. But anything under 50 BMG is fine. We do have a 5-yard range, but no black powder, no incendiary or tracer rounds. But other than that, we're pretty good to go.
That's awesome. I mean, and even and being here, I've been born and raised in Prescott. Even like hanging out like way across the street or maybe over at the little restaurants around the corner, you can't hear nothing. Like, it's really soundproof.
No, when we built that, we have 8-inch concrete block, solid filled concrete block wall that's rebar enforced all the way around the perimeter and interior of the building. In the range portion, then we put on another 1/4-inch layer of AR-500 steel, which is basically what tanks are made out of. Then on top of that, we put 1.5 inches of ballistic tile. So it's the ballistic tile really helps deaden the soundproof, and between the steel and the full concrete block wall, it's pretty quiet in there.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you guys recycle your bullet or your casing?
We do. We recycle everything that we possibly can. We recycle all the brass. We recycle the lead. We have a company that comes up, an environmental company that comes up. They'll do a complete clean out of all the lead. They'll take the lead down, recycle it, and then we offset that against the cost of them coming to clean up.
Nice. That works out. Recycling is, you know, one of the biggest things that I've ever seen. When you actually go out to those of outdoors is it's right. Like there's casings everywhere.
Yeah.
Like everywhere. Yeah. You're just like, how come nobody picked that up?
No, we recycle all of that. We even recycle all the cardboard boxes that the ammo come in and all the cardboard shipping containers that they come in, anything that comes in, we'll recycle that as well. So we're pretty environmentally friendly.
Do you actually reload your casings and stuff?
I do.
So do you have to go to school for this? Or
are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, actually I didn't. I started reloading my dad and I. It was a father-son type project. Started reloading when I was 17.
Wow.
And we kind of, we learned by the books and learned how to reload it and reload our ammunition. So do I reload everything? No. But, the common calibers, like 45s and some of the rifles, I do reload those.
That's awesome.
So I use the brass. And, it to me at this point in my game, I'm pushing 65. So I've been reloading since I was 17. Reloading just comes part of shooting. It's like cleaning the guns, part of shooting, reloading is part of the shooting. And not everybody wants to do that. I understand that.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, well,
sounds fun, a lot of fun.
You go in the garage, turn the Beatles on, reload, everything's good.
It only sounds like fun.
Yeah, it only sounds like
fun. He doesn't reload.
But we actually take some of our brass and we'll separate it and we'll put it in the baggies for our reloaders. And if they want to buy some of the brass we have, it's all usually brand new brass. Once fired,
yeah.
They like that stuff.
So, I did a little work at Ruger. It was one of the most... I'm not a factory type of guy, but Ruger obviously this is what they do. Remake, and stuff. The calibration of each bullet. How do you know that the specs are right when it comes into your gun?
Well, when you buy them by diameter, and yeah. You buy them by caliber. So if I'm going to reload 9mm, 9mm are usually a certain diameter. And then you get mostly what I'm looking at is bullet weight. I'm going to shoot maybe 115 grain, 124 grain, 147 grain. It all depends on what your application is. I don't ever load defensive ammunition. There's a reason for that. I won't get into that right now. But for target practice, it is cheaper for me to reload it. And like I said, it's just part of shooting at this point in my shooting experience. But don't get me wrong, I'm never hesitant to buy a box of ammunition and shoot it. I'll be on the range or something and, run out and I go, hey, I need another box. I'll go off to the counter and buy a box.
What is the savings in that? I mean, obviously time is one, but as far as money-wise, will it be easier for you to go ahead and just buy a box? Or
it's easier.
But what's more cost-effective?
Reloading, 9mm is not so much anymore. 9mm is pretty cheap on the market right now. So they're pretty cost-effective. If you're going to shoot 45s, 44 magnums, 40 cals, or especially when you get into the rifles, you might save a little bit of money.
Speaking of rifles, we have some stuff on the news just lately about how they want to go ahead and ban some rifles in certain locations and stuff. What do you guys take on this?
It's a continual front, I saw in Pennsylvania now they're trying to do a complete gun registration, not only of firearms, but of the firearms owners as well. And I sure hope these people wake up and realize what they're trying to do, because all gun confiscation starts with registration. So I just hope they realize, if someone came in right now and said, okay, look, we're going to pass a bill that allows us to confiscate all your guns, everyone would be up in arms, probably literally up in arms, right? But they won't do that. What the gun grabbers try and do is just incrementally chip away, okay? We're going to just start here with what we call common sense legislation, right? And every time they introduce something new, a new gun law, to me, it's an implicit admission that what they did before didn't work. Because if what they did before worked, they wouldn't need another one.
Mm-hmm.
So they just keep adding on top, making it harder and harder. You look at California, perfect example. You start out at a 3-day waiting period. Then they might want to take it to 10-day. Then, only one gun a month. Then you got to do background checks on everyone, even for private firearm sales. And every time they do it, doesn't stop a mass shooting. No, there's tons of them in California. They continue to happen. Crimes continue to happen. Oh, now we're going to do red flag laws, right? Where we can come and confiscate guns if someone, a family member, says he's unstable. How did that work out with the borderline shooting? It didn't work at all. Just another implicit admission that what they're doing doesn't work, okay? We have proposed to Congress multiple times a common sense law that might actually work. Here it is. We're an FFL dealer. We have passed background checks. We can sell and buy firearms. We can do FBI background checks for our customers. Do you know if someone brings a gun to me off the street and says, hey, I'd like to put this on consignment, or I want to sell this, or will you buy it from me? I have no way to trace it to know if it's stolen or not.
Well, and who has the ability to know?
The government.
That's it?
The government has a federal database that can do a search on all stolen firearms. And if they would just simply give federal firearm dealers access to be able to log in, type in a serial number, and say, is this gun stolen? And it comes back clear, we know we're not putting a stolen firearm back on the street. And I propose this, and nobody wants to listen. And there's a common sense law that makes sense, that works for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, in most cases, once again, looking at the news, they were specifically targeting a rifle of some sort.
Right.
And then, you know, everybody's rebuttal was like, well, if my car ends up killing this person, are we going to go to Honda and say, Honda, we need you to take this off the street? And I'm not saying that isn't an equivalency, but it's kind of like it's kind of weird to go ahead and ban something when you know for a fact that you actually make it without anybody even knowing that you're making them. But it's like, people are going to have them no matter what. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
A criminal is going to get the gun, and he doesn't have to tell nobody about it.
No. I mean, that's the whole problem with this. Every time you pass one of these laws, really all it does is restrict a law-abiding citizen. The criminal wants these laws. Criminals want it. Now do it. This is exactly what they want. Keep making it harder and harder. Disarm the population, because it's never going to stop.
The criminals love gun-free zones.
Yeah.
And it's proven again, gun-free zones don't work. Time after time. How many shootings do we have to see in a gun-free zone to realize that, you know, it's not so gun-free? Law-abiding citizens gun-free. But criminals don't follow the law.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, once again, current events, there's something that happened not even on American soil, is that right?
I saw last night in New Zealand.
They have the gun restrictions there. They have
some of the most strict gun restrictions,
I mean, I didn't really get into the whole story in general, but obviously the gun came up saying, you know, this was a criminal that came in and took advantage of a situation where, you know, you do have the innocent people that don't want to have guns. They want to just be able to live in a society where we don't have to defend ourselves. But, you know, we know that in reality, that just doesn't work, because people are evil, and evil exists. As soon as you are able to take away evil, then you could probably take away the guns, if it was that perfect of a world.
The neat part is, San Martin is, in our Constitution, you don't have to own a gun. You know, if you don't want to own one, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But don't take my right. Don't take away my right to own that firearm. Protect my family.
The thing people have to realize is, and they have the choice. If you don't want to do it, see, the difference between the political philosophies is, on one side of the spectrum, if you don't like it, you don't buy it. If you don't like the TV show, you turn the channel. On the other side of the political spectrum, if they don't like it, they don't want anybody to have it, okay? And that's the big difference. And people have to realize, if you're gonna buy a firearm, it is a big responsibility, okay? You've got a responsibility first to understand it, you've got a responsibility to get trained, you've got a responsibility to understand your law. And they have to understand that in reality, they are the first responders, okay? They are going to be the first responders. And if they don't have a mindset that their life or their family's life are worth protecting, then they're in the wrong field. They shouldn't be doing it, okay? You gotta have a mindset that your life is worth protecting.
Yep. And you know what's kind of funny? I read a lot of stuff. Not political, we're gonna go back on that level. But Bernie Sanders came out and he was we want gun rights, we want gun rights, and we want guns to be taken off the streets in some sense. That's kind of what he said. And, you know, I inserted something saying, hey, as soon as you don't need guns to protect you, I won't need guns to protect myself. So until that happens, I think you might have to step away.
Kind of like the border wall, you know. As soon as you take your fence down, maybe we won't look at it.
Yeah. I mean, in most cases, I speak on, having a little bit of control inside of your domain. It's just like me walking into a bar. Mm-hmm. A bar, you have a guy that's sitting at that front door, mm-hmm. checking you, making sure that you're legal to come through, and also that you don't have a weapon. Isn't that weird? Why would we do that at a bar, but we won't do that for our own state? And don't get me wrong, I mean, I don't know about this politics stuff, but I'm telling you, it's kind of one of those weird scenarios where, you know, you want to do something and take it away, and then all of a sudden, unless it has to deal with you, I don't want that taken away. My guards need the guns. They need to protect me. But I'm going to tell everybody to take away the guns because, you know, I just want to be protecting myself.
You know, if the Bernie Sanders of the world really, truly wanted to stop gun violence, they'd start enforcing the laws that are already out there. I mean, there's probably 15,000 laws dealing with guns. And from the federal side, if you started to do federal prosecutions for possession of firearms by felons, okay, when you start to add up the term they could get in a federal sentence for an ex-con felon using a gun in a robbery or something like that, you're talking about 30 years, okay? I will tell you right now, someone locked up for 30 years is a 30-year deterrent that they won't do it again. But if you carry a gun in Chicago illegally and you get caught, it's a revolving door. The law enforcement there have their hands full because they go out and make arrests, and these guys are on the street within a year again. What good does it do? I mean, you won't stop gun violence because you're not going to stop the ability to access guns. Okay, look at the background check, the universal background check now that's in the House. Oh, we got to do universal background checks because we implicitly admit that all of the things we've done before haven't worked. So now everybody's got to get a background check. Well, how has that worked out so far? You look at all of the shooters that have been out there, okay? How did they get them? They passed the background check. Or they stole the gun, all right? Adam Lanza shot and killed his mother and then went and shot and killed people, all right? He didn't need to pass the background check because he stole the gun after he murdered. As far as I remember, murder is also illegal. That didn't stop him from murdering someone either. So the laws aren't going to stop evil intent. Evil is always going to do what it wants. Mm-hmm. And then for Connecticut Supreme Court, who is a bunch of buffoons, so if you're listening, Connecticut, you'll hear from Arizona, you're a bunch of buffoons. They allow a lawsuit to continue because they say Remington marketed their Bushmaster AR, and by the way, AR doesn't stand for assault rifle, and every time you hear the word assault rifle, it drives me crazy, because assault rifle is a made-up term by the media, okay? It stands for Armalite Rifle, the inventor of the design of the AR-15. So they say they marketed it to such a point that it caused this evil person to go out and kill these people, because it was too cool. It was too military, okay? No, what caused him to kill was evil intent, okay? That's like Ferrari saying getting sued because they market their car being too fast.
Yeah.
So they get into an accident. Now we're gonna sue Ferrari because you made a car that was too fast, okay? An AR is just a semi-automatic rifle. It looks scary, but it's no different than any other semi-automatic rifle. It's that simple. So now they come up with these twisted findings, okay? Judges shouldn't be judges if they influence and they put their political persuasion into their rulings. You're supposed to look at the law and apply it. If you hold Remington liable in this stupid pending lawsuit that they have, then that means you have to hold all the automobile manufacturers liable for their marketing of when they market exotic fast cars, or they market a car that's supposed to be safety standards are the best in the industry, but it fails to do and save a life. Then you need to do that. And then take it further. Well, now you got a drunk driver. So they drank the drink because Heineken marketed it as the cool beer to have. So they drank too many, got in an automobile, went out in drunk driving, killed someone. So now you got to sue the manufacturer of the car, you got to do the alcohol manufacturer. And all it comes down to is, no, the guy who got behind the car drunk was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, everybody should be accountable for their actions.
Absolutely.
In general. And I mean, it's all cases, but you know, I mean, as a human or people that have the ability to go ahead and acknowledge the wrongs to the rights, that's kind of where it starts. You know, it's a moral standard. And unfortunately, there's people that do not oblige us with that, you know,
Then you have the activist judges, like what Don was saying. You know, you have people who have an agenda, and that's part of their agenda.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that it's just one of those cycles where you just like, does it happen or doesn't it happen?
Yeah, but it goes through the court system, and Don will probably be turned over somewhere along the line. Someone's going to say, hey, this is insane. It can't work this way. We're going to change it. And once again, we'll come up with another ruling.
Well, that's a problem, you know. And I am a lawyer, okay? I've got a law degree, and I do practice law. And I look at the twisted logic that these judges go through to find some way to allow these lawsuits to continue. Back in the day, Congress passed, okay, with both parties passed the Lawful Commerce Act, which basically gave protection to firearm manufacturers. It was so ridiculous that the tactic of the left was to try and bankrupt the industry with multiple lawsuits, right? How do you fight the government, okay? We are paying the government our tax money that they then use against us to sue us and put us out of business, which is ridiculous. So Congress passes this Lawful Commerce Act that says, look, if it's a lawful gun, a lawful item that's made lawfully, you don't get sued because someone else took it and used it for an unlawful purpose. So this judge went out of his way, these judges went out of their way to figure out how could we get around this law that says you're not allowed to sue, because this case had already been dismissed. So what did they do? They said, oh, it was the marketing. While you can't sue because the gun is lawful in commerce, the way you marketed it was the problem. So now they're looking at marketing.
Yeah, just like Gatorade.
Yeah.
So now it's gonna cost Remington, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to take this on to the government, which eventually I think will get overturned.
Didn't they do the same thing with Smith & Wesson one time?
I don't remember that.
I don't know. Every time there's a gun that's used, I mean, knowing somebody that works in the gun industry, as soon as that one gun is used, all of a sudden the sales go up in a tremendous amount of ways. So it's kind of crazy.
People get scared.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to lose this gun. That was an awesome gun.
You know, the most ridiculous part of it is if people would just avail themselves to the facts and the truth, they realize that AR-15s are not the firearm of choice for crime, okay? If you want to look at just solely firearms, the firearms of choice are handguns. They're easy to conceal. They still hold a fair amount of rounds, okay? And you'll see that in most of your shootings, this is what's used.
Mm-hmm.
But if you continue to look and drill down into the FBI numbers, you're gonna find that firearms and rifles, I think, if I remember from the last data, and don't hold me to these numbers, but it was like maybe there was 400 firearm-related deaths with rifles, okay? ARs, rifles. And you're talking about, you know, tens of thousands of deaths per year. Okay, so maybe 38,000 firearm related fatalities. I can't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head. But when you start to drill down, well, wait a minute, some of those include suicides. Wait a minute, some of those are negligent discharge. Wait a minute, you know. So all of a sudden, the true numbers start to really dwindle. And then when you start to look at comparing the rate of firearm, let's say rifle homicides at, say, 384 or whatever it is, and then you look at how many people are killed with hands, strangler, punch, you start to get into the thousands.
Yep.
Knives.
Hammers.
Even more. Hammers.
Hammers.
It, you start to look at the other methods, and firearms start to dwarf the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you actually watch anything that has to do with the past in general,
guns weren't really killing. I mean, people were killing. So, I mean, ultimately, that's what it comes down to. It's a moral standard that most people do not know about. And some people don't want to take in that account. Like, we know the difference between good and bad. Obviously, we don't like bad. I mean, I don't like people that are bad. So, you know, this is one of those things that you need to stand up for. And unfortunately, the bad is definitely there, and everybody needs to acknowledge this, because if they don't, then I feel
you're
like
a victim.
Yeah, now it's become an issue.
Well, you keep taking God out of everything we do, and you keep taking morality out of everything we do, and tell everybody that everything's okay. You've got to express yourself. Yeah, the one you expect, evil will triumph. There was a great quote. It said, "The only thing for evil to triumph is for a good man to do nothing, or a good woman to do nothing." And that's it. And that's what's happening. People are just sitting back and not taking any action. They're just like, oh, you know, it is what it is. And everybody's so lazy, they don't want to get involved because everybody's lives are busy. We get it. But if you don't take a stand and stand up for what's right, then you're going to be on the other side of that mm-hmm. equation.
I definitely 100% agree with that. If you don't take charge, then who else will? And whoever else is taking charge, they are a bad person, guess what? They're going to create a bunch of more bad people. I mean, we can see that all the way down far south, where, you know, the cartel is taking over cities. And the people in the cities are taking over their cities back. Like, no, we're going to go ahead and say, no, this is our city. You guys have to leave. And I mean, I've been watching a lot of documentaries. Well, on Vice News is one of the things that go out there, and they research all this stuff, and I like them. They're kind of a good news source. But they go into these cities, and there's no government, there's no police, and if they do have the police, they're all a part of the cartel. If they're not, then, you know, they have to do what the cartel says, or they're going to kill the whole family. But these people are rising up in their own little towns and their own little villages, or whatever they may call them, and they're taking their stuff back by force.
Good.
And in a good way, you know. Hopefully that's what their hearts are all a part of. So I like watching stuff like that, and it's happening today.
Yeah.
You know, if we were to walk out right now and start doing some crazy stuff, guess what? We're going to be handled the way that we should be handled. Mm-hmm. But in these other countries, it's just sad to see. Very sad.
So switching a little bit, Don, new buyers. We get a lot of new buyers coming through the doors, and maybe shed some of your wisdom on buying a new gun. I always hear the guy come in and say, I'm going to buy my wife a new gun. I go, where's your wife? She's not with you? You're not going to have her touch, feel, or the new gun?
My favorite is when, you know, I'm going to buy my wife a gun. I'm like, okay, would you buy her a bra?
Yeah.
And they're like,
I was
no,
there,
no, no, no.
I kind of say new shoes,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whatever it is. Don goes with the bra.
Yeah,
the bra, because
it is
the
happen.
First thing that they're going to say, no way, man, I have no idea, right? So you shouldn't be buying her a gun either, right? Because it really is a personalized experience. You have to understand that when a new buyer comes in, the first thing that we want to know is, you know, one thing that drives me crazy about gun stores is a woman will walk through the door and say, I need a gun. And they'll give it the, here you go, little lady, you just need a 38 revolver. It's easy to use. And to me, that's insulting, it's degrading, and it doesn't really accomplish the purpose. You've got, in many cases, you've got a woman who is coming into something new, okay? It's frightening, they're not knowledgeable yet, and they need to be given proper information, and they need to be fitted properly. So you gotta find out, okay, what's it for? Well, I wanna get into just target shooting. Okay, that's a whole different gun. Oh, I've got a problem with an ex-boyfriend, I've got a restraining order. Okay, that's a self-defense issue. Now we gotta talk about what it is your purpose is. Then we gotta talk about hand size or hand strength. You know, some people, especially in our community, they're older, they don't have hand strength anymore, racking a slide may be more difficult for them. So we gotta fit it up, we gotta see if it really works for them, we gotta talk about calibers, we gotta talk about where it's gonna be used, is it gonna be carried, is it gonna be stored, is it a headboard gun, you know. And that all affects your decision on what gun to do. And the thing we really enjoy to do too is, because we have a really vast supply of firearm rentals. So we have a try before you buy. You can come in, you can try, we'll fit you up. You go and try some things. If they work for you, our commitment is that if you like it and you buy it that day you rent it, we'll credit you back the $15 rental fee, because I'd rather you spend $15 and find out you don't like something than to spend $500 and find out you don't like it, because then you're not going to shoot it, then you're not going to train with it, and when it comes time to actually need it, you're not going to be any good with it. So it's an important thing to take some time. And we tell everybody, if they want to make an appointment, come in, allot us at least 20 to 30 minutes so that we can show you all the options of the firearm. Does it have a safety? How's the mag release work? Does it have night sights? You know, what kind of trigger does it have? What's the capacity? All of these things that become really important for someone to have knowledge about when they make a decision on
That's pretty good. I didn't know that you could actually rent out a gun that you might be, you know, wanting to buy, and you could do that. That's awesome. Are you the only gun club in the area that does offer this?
I believe there's one out in PV that has some rental guns too, but we have a pretty extensive selection of just about every new model that's out there.
Well, that's awesome. And it's only for $15 that you could try one of the guns?
Yes. Yep.
So per gun will be 15.
Yes.
All right. Does it come with ammo?
No.
Okay. So no. 15 plus the additional.
Plus two with the unless ammo. You reload. No, you can't get reloads on those.
So funny. Yeah. So we have rifles up there as well, and a lot of variety of handguns.
How much is it? I mean, if I were to go in there and try to test out one of the guns that you have, it will cost me $15 for the rental, and then how much additional for the, ammo?
The ammo is dependent upon what kind of gun you buy. I mean, if you're trying a 22, you know, ammo is as cheap as, you know, $2.99 or something like that.
For a big box?
For a box of 50.
Okay,
yeah.
50 rounds.
But, you know, you're at $10 or so for a box of 9mm. So it's well worth it. And, you know, we don't just go in and say, look, you should try 10 of these guns. We kind of work with you and narrow you down to a point where, you know, we'll sit with you on our table and we'll start working through them, and we'll bring up guns. Okay, let's try this. How does this feel? What's going on here? And then, okay, and then we'll bring out another one, and we'll go, okay, now, and then we'll bring out another one, and we'll go, okay, between these two, which one would you not like the most? And then we'll take that one away, then we'll bring out another one. And, you know, we kind of narrow them down to a point where they're down to maybe two guns, maybe three guns that they really like the feel of. And so they don't have to try 10 different guns. Yeah. We'll get them dialed in pretty quick.
Well, I have a great idea right now. I mean, do you offer this for like a bachelor party or a bachelorette party? I mean, like say for instance, you know, hey guys, you know, instead of going to the bar or whatever, let's go get some gunshot. I mean,
we do. We actually do quite a few parties. We have bachelorette parties. We've had doctor office parties. We've had a lot of businesses in town that will come in for their Christmas office party, and they'll do. We'll set up something for them, a nice little fun shoot, and then they'll all go to dinner after that. Things like that.
Not only can
see,
you
thought of a brand new idea.
I was like, this is a brand new one, man. I mean, with the dinner package, how much does this cost?
Well, the last one we had, and had such a good time, they actually invited all of us to go to dinner with them. So that was kind of a neat thing, you know?
That's cool. I mean, it's a great idea you could offer. I mean, we are, everybody still calls it the Wild Wild West, but we do have, you know, restrictions. And I think everybody's really respectful in this area about guns, you know? We don't really hear a wide range of shootings here locally in Prescott, gang violence and stuff like that, or just in general violence, you know.
Everyone's armed.
Yeah.
I was just going to say it's a really polite society.
Yeah.
Armed society is a polite society.
But, you know, talking about brand new buyers, again, I want to bring up, you know, Don takes his time, the staff takes their time with somebody who's never had a gun, doesn't want to learn how to use a gun. Again, it's all about invested in that customer, mm-hmm. and we sit down and we take our time and we talk to them and we tutor them through it. And you kind of touched a little bit on training, Don, and you know, once you buy a gun, you've got this thing. It's kind of like I always say Liberace didn't learn how to play the piano without practicing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got this gun. Where do we go from there?
From there, you know, really, the thing we don't like to see is someone that just comes in, buys a gun, and thinks they're done, then they walk out of the shop. we really don't like to see that. Buying a firearm is a commitment to training, okay? Because training is a vital part of buying a firearm. You have to know how to properly use it, and you really, really have to be fluent and versed in firearm safety rules. Because if you don't have those rules under your belt, that's when bad things are going to happen. So we really recommend people that if they're new shooters, we offer private lessons, one-on-one for people that don't want to be in classes. We offer basic marksmanship class that just starts you out as a new shooter, takes you from the beginning. We always say no one is born a good shooter, okay? Everyone has to learn. So then from there, you can start looking at your concealed carry. If you decide that you want to conceal carry, it's always great to know the laws of self-defense in Arizona. We have some great laws, and a lot of people don't realize that. And a lot of people don't realize, well, I've got constitutional carry here, right? Well, okay, that's great. But you still don't know the law with constitutional carry. Yeah, you can carry a firearm as a resident of Arizona legally, because the Second Amendment, they say, is your carry permit. However, there are some differences you should be aware of. You've got to abide by the Gun Free Zone Act, right? You can't come within 1,000 feet of any school zone, whereas the CCW gives you permission to pass through there. So if you drive down, you know, Gurley Street, where the old Washington School was, and you got your gun in your car, you're in violation of federal law, right? If you constitutional carry and you want to go over to Denny's, No, they got a liquor license. You cannot carry in there because you don't have a permit. You have a CCW though, and it's not otherwise posted, you're able to carry into an establishment that serves alcohol. Can't drink, obviously, but you can do it. So there's a lot of good information that people, you know, knowledge is power, and they should understand that training is part of the commitment to be a firearm owner.
Yeah, I mean, in being a new firearm owner, you don't want to like hand a 125-pound person a Desert Ruger and say, here you go, try this one out first. Yeah. I mean, because I've seen those videos and holy backlash. The recoil is just right in their face.
We use a lot of video training in our CCW class of what not to do. I mean, the stupidity that's out there with firearms is just mind-boggling. There was a recent video that made the rounds of a guy who was in a range that held the gun up to his buddy's head to take a picture. And they had a range safety officer on duty, which, like we do too, we feel it's important. We always keep a range safety officer on duty in the back when people are shooting to help them and to keep them safe. And that guy put the gun up to his buddy's head to take a picture, and the range safety officer was on it like that. He got it down and kicked him out, which they should have been. That's just stupidity.
Yeah, very much so. I lost a few people just for being stupid. And, you know, one of the biggest one was... Russian roulette, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. That's obviously it is a death wish, and so I mean, stupidity definitely does go into the stupid realm.
Yeah, I know.
Like, this is something you don't do, and I like to watch those videos of what not to do. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Right. What not to do?
How about
is
those
big old
elephant guns? I think it's in Saudi Arabia, and you have the sheiks. They go in there, and they're like, "Here, I know exactly what's going to happen to this guy." And he goes in there, and he shoots his gun, and he's dropping the gun. And this guy's flying like 10 feet, and then stopping on the wall.
Well, that's one of the videos we use too. We have in our CCW class, there's one where there's this slight girl, she may be 97 pounds, you know, and they put a 12 gauge with a magnum load in it that completely knocked her over. I mean, first of all, you know, it's not funny. Second of all,
why?
Why would you do that to someone? I mean, here as a new shooter, one, you can completely injure her, first of all, mm-hmm. her shoulder. Two, you could get injured yourself if that gun then is, you know, because of her being knocked over, then discharges again on a semi-automatic and shoots you. And three, if she's a new shooter, do you really think that she's going to want to come back into this sport?
Yeah. Okay, I don't mean to laugh at those videos, but it is one of those, what are you doing that for? Yeah. So I watch those things just because of curiosity, first of all, and plus I just can't stop watching.
Yeah.
it's just too bad. But I'm glad you guys have rules.
We do have rules. Kind of cool thing though, CCW classes, I've been involved in a lot of those, is we did, it's like 50% of the class is in the classroom. Again, Don will go over the laws and we'll break it all down, you know, what a bullet is, how it's composed, and what a gun is, what a revolver is, what a pistol is. But what's really neat, and I think is unique to our plan, is we take you on the range. And there's like a 3-hour time that you're on the range with an instructor, with RSOs. I'm an RSO. What making sure everybody's handling their firearms safely. And we teach you, we give you instructions on things like how to pull it from your holster, how to pull from under a garment, you know, so that you don't just, again, buy a gun, get a CCW license, and then drop it in your holster and think, I'm all good. No, that doesn't the way it works.
Yeah, you know? Even if they buy a holster. I mean, that's one of the things we do pride ourselves. You know, Mike was instrumental in the beginning because Mike had 26 years of military and law enforcement. He was one of the instructors that instructed instructors. So when we put our CCW class together, we didn't do one of these stupid cheapo classes like they do at, you know, the Marriott or something where people show up for $49 online and then they take a little quiz or whatever at the end. We're like, no, if you're going to carry, there's some integral things that you need to know. One, you need firearm safety rules. Two, you need to know how to shoot. What is a proper shooting platform? Three, you need to know the differences in firearms. You need to know the differences in ammunition. You need to know the differences in holster carry. What's good, what's bad, the benefits, detriments, and you need to know how to get out of the holster, okay? You're not going to walk around with your gun in your hand being ready all day. So a lot of these classes, they don't teach you how to holster draw. There's a lot of classes out there, oh, well, we'll teach you, but that's a whole other class, yeah. Right? Now, there isn't a whole other fee, you know? We don't do that. We have a comprehensive class so that when you come out of there, you understand the basics of how to shoot, how to properly present out of your holster, how to get back in. And we spend about 3 hours with you on the range, putting rounds down range. Some of these classes put you in there and you'll shoot 10 rounds and that's it. And they're like, oh, okay, you hit the target at, you know, at 3 yards, you're good to go. We don't feel that.
Like, bye-bye.
Yeah.
So let's go over let's go over the training.
Glad you did that.
Do you have like set classes where you'd be like, hey, this is the beginner's training course. We suggest that you do 30 hours, 40 hours with us. And do you have like a set program where a cost is involved, obviously, but do you have these?
We do. We have a series of level of classes where our basic marksmanship will get you into the class, and that's for beginners. Okay, we tell you all about firearms, how they function, how to load, how to unload, different types of ammo, different types of firearms, and then we take you out on the range, and you'll actually shoot for about an hour and a half, even in our basic marksmanship class, because getting that repetition is really important. From there, you can go in a variety of different directions. Most of the people will then go into our CCW class. We also offer cleaning classes. A lot of people are terrified to take their guns apart. So we'll offer a cleaning class that you can come in. We'll give you a cleaning kit for your gun. We'll show you how to take it apart, how to clean it, how to lubricate it, how to put it back together. We also have private lessons. When people get into it and they really want to start to increase their abilities, we get them in the private lessons, and then we can start working on a variety of different things. Malfunction clearances, what to do when your gun jams up, how to get it cleared, how to get back on target, how to get back into the fight. We'll teach them how to do multiple target acquisition, multiple rounds. You know, there's so much that you can learn and continue to develop. There's move and shoots, how to get what we call getting off the X. So here's how you, once you take your shot, you don't want to just stand there like a big target. You got to start moving. So with our range, because it's a tactical range, we can work down range. We don't have to just stay in the booth. So we can do a lot of fun things that others can't do. So we get to do those. And then we have some great things called skill builders that we're able to just, we focus on one aspect. So one skill builder, it's a 2-hour class. We take about an hour in the classroom. We teach you the particular skill, like holster draw. And we'll spend and say, here's how you do it in the class. Then we take you out on the range for an hour and do holster draw and shoot it.
And thank you, Corey, for your comment. Appreciate it. It is a basic, CCW basics.
All right. And you can go over the cost. To do a beginner's class, what is the starting cost?
So starting cost on a basic marksmanship class is $65. Our CCW class is $115. Our cleaning class is $45, and you get a cleaning kit with that as well. Private lessons are one-on-one. They're an hour. And they're $90.
And you guys said the range. Obviously, there's an indoor range, mm-hmm. and then there's an outdoor range as well.
No, we just have indoor range.
Okay. I tried to talk them into building a trout pond behind it, you know, so you can shoot, go fishing.
Yeah.
No, didn't work at all. You know, I wanted to bring something about training though, and I think training, even to the most experienced shooter, is always important, no matter what. Years I did martial arts. And I watched an interview with a grandmaster, and here this guy is, he's like in his 70s, and he's been doing martial arts all his life. And the question was, what is one of your hardest forms that you've done? And he says, you know, if I ever learn how to make a perfect fist, and it just hit me, you know, here's this guy, 70 years old, been around all his life, and he's still working on making the perfect fist. I mean, talk about being basic, right?
You know, and we're
right here, when, you know, as experienced shooters, when we talk about this drawing and reholstering, and I don't care how long you've been doing,
yeah.
You know, when you have an opportunity to sit down with Don or some of the other instructors that we have, and we've got some really good instructors, no matter, you know, it's an opportunity missed if you don't join in on it.
Well, and the thing that people have to remember is shooting is a perishable skill. It's true. It's not like riding a bike. You know, you rode a bike when you were a kid and you got on it and you can get back on 20 years later and know how to ride a bike. Now, I don't think you're going to be as good as you were when you were 20 years ago riding a bike. And the same thing is true with firearms. If you don't continue to train, I promise you, those skills go away really fast.
Yeah,
and we see that. We see that on the range. Don and I will be on the range, and somebody will come in. You know, I've shot all my life. Yada yada. I've been this, that, and everything. They start pulling the trigger, and we go, "Whoa, what happened?"
You're like, you know? "Okay, so it's like you look at the target, and you're like, well,
then
it's more practice."
Yeah.
Like I should correct myself. I was watching all the country TV shows all my life. I know how they work.
Well, those are great because they have magic bullets. They somehow always find their mark.
One shot, man.
So let's wind it down. Let's talk about how we can go ahead and get a hold of you. What is the process and where are you located?
We are located at 1200 West Iron Springs Road. We're right across from Scout's Restaurant by the Safeway Plaza there. Telephone number there is 928-910-3457, and you can go onto our website at prescottgunclub.com, and that lists all our classes, all our calendars, descriptions of every class, the cost and availability, and you can even sign up for a class right online. Yeah.
And they could go ahead and find you two gentlemen over there to teach them all the rights and wrongs.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Please. So if you got your pencil ready, one more time, Don, telephone number. Because I bring this up all the time. Call us at 445. And you never have the time to write it all down. So nice and slow.
928-910-3457.
Excellent. Well, this is another episode of Prescott Talks, and we are really gearing up for some awesome future guests that are coming in. So you have to tune in. You guys got to watch this. It's going to be usually on Friday, 10 o'clock every Friday. So you'll see it live, and then you will also be able to see the podcast.
Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on Saturday or Sunday when the editor in chief goes ahead does the initial upload. So be sure to watch all that. And I thank you for coming by.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for letting me sit in as a co-host. I like doing these things.
I love it. We have to go to work though. You know, I mean, I'm just saying.
This is
we're on duty at 1300, baby.
This is my job right here.
Hey, maybe you want to let them know who's going to be here next week?
Oh, yeah. Next week, we're going to go ahead and bring in the... Save the Dells admin coordinator.
The chairperson.
Chairperson.
Bonnie McMinn, I believe is her name.
Oh, I thought it was Amber.
That's the co-chair.
Okay.
So that's a person I've been talking to. But they wanted to come on and speak about their mission about saving the Dells. So we had Jason Jeezy on last week.
Which was a huge one.
Which was a good one. And, you know, he brought out a lot of things, and I think they want to address that, and that's cool. I want to... We want to keep the conversation going. That's what this show is all about. We want to, you know, talk about what's going on in our area, keep the conversation going, talk to our political leaders, talk about, you know, what's the happenings with within our community. And I'm pretty excited to be part of the show.
Yeah, honestly. I think
you're, I really appreciate being invited to do it.
Yeah, you're hitting everybody on the head with this. And so if you guys want to hear somebody on this show that has to deal with our city or our government, you know, let us know.
Yeah, text it. Let's see if we can get them and bring them on in, and we'll answer your questions. Again, I always say, do the best of our ability.
Yep. So, excellent. Well, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for coming through. Don't forget to follow Prescott E-News and get that download newsletter, because ultimately that's how you keep up with the local and current news. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate you having me.
All right. Thank you, guys.